"Beware of beautiful strangers," said one of the Magi astrologers, the wise men. "And on Friday, avoid travel by water. The sun is moving into the house of Venus, so affairs of the heart will prosper." We said this to Herod, or something along those lines, and of course it meant next to nothing. To have told him anything of real value, we would have had to have spent weeks of study, months, calculating the conjunction of the planets at the precise moment of his birth and at the births of his parents and their parents back to the fourth generation. But Herod knew nothing of this, and he jumped at the nonsense that we threw him like a hungry dog, and he thanked us for it. A lost man, you see, even though he was a king. Neither really a Jew nor really a Roman. He was at home nowhere, and he believed in nothing, neither Olympian Zeus nor the Holy One of Israel. So he was ready to jump at anything, and he swallowed our little jingle whole. But it could hardly have been more obvious that jingles were the least of what he wanted from us. "Go and find me the child," the king told us. And as he spoke, his fingers trembled so that the emeralds in his rings rattled together like teeth. "Because I want to come and worship him," he said. And when he said that, his hands were as death, still as death. "I ask you, does a man need the stars to tell him that no king has ever yet bowed down to another king?" He took us for children, that sly, lost old fox. And so it was, like children, that we answered him. "Yes, of course," we said, and we went on our way. And his hands fluttered to his throat like moths. Why did we travel so far to be there when it happened? Why was it not enough to just know the secret without having to be there ourselves to behold it? To this, not even the stars had an answer. The stars simply said that he would be born. It was another voice altogether that said to go, a voice as deep within ourselves as the stars are deep within the sky. But why did we go? I could not tell you why. And I could not have told you then either. Not even as we were in the very process of going could I have told you. Not that we had no motive, but that we had so many. Curiosity, I suppose. To be wise is to be eternally curious, and we were very wise. We wanted to see for ourselves this one before whom even the stars bow down. To see, perhaps, if it was really true, because even the wise have their doubts. And longing. Yes, longing. Why will a man who is dying of thirst crawl miles across sands as hot as fire at simply the possibility of water? But if we longed to receive, we also longed to give. Why will a man labor and struggle all the days of his life so that in the end he has something to give the one he loves? So finally, we got to the place where the star pointed us. It was at night, very cold. The innkeeper showed us the way that we did not need to be shown. A harebrained, busy man. The odor of the hay was sweet, and the cattle's breath came in and out like little puffs of mist. This man and the woman, between them, the king. We did not stay long, only a few minutes as the clock goes, yet it was 10,000 years. We set our foolish gifts down on the straw and left. I will tell you two terrible things. What we saw on the face of the newborn child was his death. A fool could have seen it as well. It sat on his head like a crown, this death that he would die. And we saw, as sure as the earth beneath our feet, that to stay with him would be to share that death. And that is why we left, giving only our gifts, withholding the rest. And now, brothers, I will ask you a terrible question, and God knows I ask it also of myself. Is the truth beyond all truths, beyond the stars, just this, that to live without him is the real death, that to die with him is the only life? I love that retelling of the Magi so very much, despite our many little voices chiming in as well. But I hope you were able to sort of follow along with that imaginative retelling. It comes from Frederick Buechner, one of my very favorite spiritual writers, who preached that as part of an Advent sermon back in 1965. I've been rereading that sermon every Advent since 2009, when I first purchased a collection of his sermons. And there are two phrases in that imaginative retelling that hit me in particular every single time. The first is how the Magi react to Herod's request to find the child and report back to him so that he can come worship him. And the Magi, in Buechner's words, say this: "I ask you, does a man need the stars to tell him that no king has ever yet bowed down to another king?" Such a great sentence. Herod's intentions are so perfectly exposed by it, but not just Herod's, because when I'm honest, this phrase also lays me bare, and I suspect you as well. Here at Ecclesia, we regularly talk about the kingdom of God, the realm where what God wants done gets done, where wholeness and peace and forgiveness and reconciliation and welcome and belonging just happen. And it's why many of us are here. We are drawn to this vision of kingdom life breaking into our world. And at our best, we all truly long to be part of it. And here at Christmas time, these kingdom values and hopes become even more tangible as we celebrate all these things putting on flesh in Christ and coming to live among us. Our longing to be God's hands and feet in the world, our desire to learn how to embody these kingdom values, this is our own echo of Herod's words. Tell us where to find him, because we want to be part of this as well. But those who are most wise and discerning, the Magi among us, or perhaps even those moments when we ourselves are most honest, we recognize the beautiful complexity of our own hearts. And even as we genuinely long for this kingdom life, we find ourselves like Herod, trying to protect our own kingdom. And a man does not need the stars to tell him that no king has ever yet bowed down to another king. Oh, I can talk a passionate game about being God's hopes for the world. And I mean every word. And yet, I hold back. Which brings me to the second part of Buechner's retelling that I just love: the reason for the wise men leaving. This growing sense that if they stay, it's going to cost them more than the gifts that they brought. And so, as Buechner writes it, we left, giving our gifts, withholding the rest, offering only what they were prepared to give. I think we are all a little bit like this, a bit like Herod, refusing to bow, and a bit like the Magi, who both give and yet withhold. And by the way, I don't share this in any sort of guilt-laden way. That would be like a lousy Christmas Eve message. Merry Christmas, you're all kind of wonderful, awful. But if anything, be encouraged, because you are in good company. We have been worshiping here in our new home for just 109 days, but already it very much feels like home. And it is becoming a place where we are practicing these kingdom values of wholeness and peace and belonging. 3 weeks ago, we hosted our first community event in this space, the Community Christmas Grinch movie event. And the space was beautiful. And many of you volunteered with bounce houses or cookie decorating, the Christmas ornament making, face painting, serving pizza and popcorn. We had a photo booth with Santa, with which some kids were very excited about, others less so. One young man had to pull on Santa's beard just to make sure he was real and not sitting on a throne of lies. And this was the first year that Kim's and my little man, George, finally warmed up a little to Santa. We hosted this event for our nonprofit partners and their families as a way of embodying these kingdom values, creating spaces where wholeness and welcome and belonging and reconciliation happen, where something of heaven comes rushing to meet us here in the presence, in the present. CJ, this past Sunday, shared these words from Frederick Buechner. Those who believe in God can never in a way be sure of him again. Once they have seen him in a stable, they can never be sure where he will appear or to what lengths he will go in his wild pursuit of humankind. Perhaps this is what truly startled the Magi. Not just the star or the child, but this realization that God's descent into human flesh wasn't meant to stop in the manger. That his wild pursuit of humankind might actually involve them. Perhaps they glimpsed how this child king would continue to incarnate in and through those who stick around, who stay. In the days and the months ahead, we are being invited to increasingly become people through whom heaven rushes to meet earth, where reconciliation takes on flesh, our flesh, where belonging becomes embodied by us, where God's wild pursuit of humankind continues in and through us. And we will, all of us, continue to be a bit like Herod, refusing to bow, and also a bit like the Magi, who both give and yet withhold. The Magi, they saw in that manger both gift and cost. They saw the death that would come with complete surrender to this child king, and we see it too. The cost of letting go of our own kingdoms. But my hope for me and my hope for you is that this grip that we hold onto our own little kingdoms will weaken, and that God's descent into human flesh would deepen just a little bit more into our own lives. So be encouraged. The Magi, they were received at that place for exactly the way they came, with gifts and also withholding. And we are received as well as we come, just as we are. But may God's advent deepen within us. Let's pray together. Lord, we come bearing our gifts, our worship, our hopes, and our very selves, knowing that you both receive our offerings and our withholdings with mercy. And as we leave this place and step into the world you love, may your light accompany us and shine into every darkened place. May your kingdom come through us. Amen.